Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God from the Old Testament reading found in Genesis 11. Therefore its name was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth, and from there the Lord dispersed them over the face of all the earth. This is God's word. Well, a blessed Pentecost to each and every one of you. Happy Pentecost. You get that? Anyone tell you that yet today? Apart from a pastor? Sure, in December, you get overwhelmed with Merry Christmas greetings for sure. And in late March, early to mid-April, you may even get a Happy Easter or two. But how many of you in your life have ever been told by someone who isn't a pastor, Happy Pentecost? Because Pentecost ranks right up there with Christmas and Easter as the most significant days of the church year. We heard today the account from Acts chapter 2. Tongues of fire flickering upon the heads of the apostles as the Holy Spirit came to them to preach the gospel in all the languages of the people. That's a story I'm sure some of you maybe remember from Sunday school, or you've heard it before, but it's a story the culture just totally doesn't even know about. What I mean is this. You can ask pretty much your token unbeliever what Christmas is. I mean, they might not believe in Jesus, but if you ask that person, what's Christmas? They'll probably say, oh, it's when Christians believe Jesus was born and he came to be our Savior. If you were to ask an unbeliever, any random one on the street, what's Easter? Even if they don't believe in our resurrected Lord Jesus, you could ask them and they would say, oh, that's when Christians believe that Jesus rose from the dead, right? People get Christmas and Easter, but Pentecost, challenge you today. Go find someone on the street. Go find someone in Super One or Econo Foods or wherever you go after church and ask them, hey, do you know what Pentecost is all about? I don't think any of you are really going to do that, but I bet you get a lot of awkward looks and a lot of quizzical stares like, what in the world are you talking about? It used to be that these days in the church year were sort of touchstones for us. It used to be a long time ago, you would say, if your child was born in early to mid-June, you'd say, oh, my child was born 3 days before Pentecost in, 4 years ago. We don't have that kind of biblical literacy today. And even among us, what really is Pentecost? Well, Pentecost is the day we talk about the Holy Spirit. Problem is, I don't think many of us know how to talk about the Holy Spirit either. We talk so much about Jesus, and rightly so. That's what the Holy Spirit does, is point us to Jesus, that maybe we've lost our ability to talk about the Holy Spirit as well. In fact, when we say the creed, we seem to say, I believe in the Holy Spirit. Then we say a bunch of other stuff, don't we? Holy Christian Church, communion of saints, forgiveness of sins, resurrection of the body, and so on. The Holy Spirit has to do with all of those things, though. And that's why they follow our confession of faith in Him. So today on Pentecost, I want us to try to regain its importance for us in the life of the church. And to do that, we're going to go back to the Tower of Babel, another great old Sunday school story. We heard it in our reading this morning from Genesis 11. Here we learn that at one point, the whole world shared one common language, right? I mean, everyone could converse with one another wherever they went. And then we read that there were some travelers coming from the east. They gathered together on a plain, it says, called Shinar. And there they decided to make a great name for themselves by building a gigantic city and constructing a huge tower that would reach to the heavens. But the Lord was displeased and that humankind could be so conceited and so focused on themselves and their own greatness. So he put a stop to their work by mixing up their languages and scattering them over the face of the earth. That city was later called Babel. Sometimes it's pronounced Babel. It's where we get the English word, Babel. And that city was later known as Babylon. Now I want you to stop and think how far mankind had fallen by Genesis chapter 11. The first 11 chapters of the Bible. And the first two, I know not all of you would consider yourselves Bible scholars, but I think you all basically know what happens in the first 11 chapters of the Bible. Genesis 1 and 2, God creates heaven and earth, right? It's all good, it's all hunky-dory, everything's perfect, right? Chapter 3, the mess goes down. Serpent comes in the garden, tempts Adam and Eve, they eat the forbidden fruit. Sin, death, destruction enter the world. Chapter 4, Cain kills his brother Abel. Our first recorded death of humankind, the first murder. Chapter 6, God is displeased with the wickedness in the world. He regrets having made the world in which man lives, so he vows to wipe it out by means of a flood. And yet he saves, mercifully, Noah and his family. We get that for several chapters. You come now to Genesis 11, and here they're at it again, filled with self-importance and pride and arrogance to make themselves like God. God's judgment there was to scatter the people, to mix up their languages, to make people different from one another. That was the result of their sin. So to this day, we have different cultures, different languages, different dialects. And all you have to do is turn on your evening news or go to your favorite news website to see just how well all these different nations and cultures get along with one another, right? By seeing how far mankind had fallen at the Tower of Babel, we learn to see how far you and I have fallen as well. Like Adam and Eve were separated from God by our sins. Like those people gathered together to build a tower to heaven, we find ourselves separated from one another. Prideful people who would make ourselves like God, who would rather do our own will rather than what God has laid out for us in his word. And now we find ourselves separated. And you know what? We continue to do all sorts of things to separate us from one another, right? We'll separate ourselves by age, income, political views, our ideas about the church. Yeah, separation happens in the place where God's people are supposed to be the closest. It happens in our churches. It happens in our communities. It happens in our families and in our marriages. Some of you know that trouble firsthand. You know that churches can be ripped apart. Communities can be ripped apart. Families and marriages certainly are ripped apart. And it all starts back in the Garden of Eden, that place of pure harmony where Satan stepped in and set everyone against each other. That's what Satan does. He pitted Adam and Eve against God. Adam and Eve were pitted against each other. And when God comes into the garden, you can see what happens. Adam blames Eve, and he blames God as well. Eve blames the serpent, and God blames all of them. He says, you're all responsible. There's a good lesson there. The Garden of Eden and the entire world used to be a place of peace and perfect relationships between people. And then who came along and started all this mess? The devil, Satan. Division and fighting and separation, that's his work. When you and I fight, when we bicker, when we gripe and moan with one another, whose work are we doing? It's not God's work, that's for sure. Well, that's the devil's work that we do. When we divide ourselves against each other, Whether that's in our church, or in our town, or in our country, or in our family, we're doing Satan's work and not God's. We're following the devil's marching orders. So Christmas and Easter and Pentecost are all about God undoing the big old mess that you and I have made. What you and I have allowed to the devil to do. It's not just Adam and Eve who have the blame. It's every person of sin. Every person in the pews here today, the preacher in the pulpit, and every person walking the streets this morning. We're all to blame. But God says, I will undo it. At Christmas, he sends his son, born in our human flesh, to live among us and walk among us. On Easter, that son who had died upon the cross rises victorious from the grave to give us a promised resurrection. And now on Pentecost, the division among God's people that resulted from our sin finds its answer in the Holy Spirit, who comes to sort out us mixed up people. Even though the people of earth speak all different languages, we all share the common language of faith. And faith in the Word of God is where true unity is found for people who are mixed up. We're blessed this morning to have, this was so cool to find out, we have a missionary couple with us. They don't know I'm going to call them up. They're going to have to get used to it because they're going to be doing support raising and going into churches. Former Our Redeemer members, Kip and Tammy Bodwin, are with us this morning. They're getting ready to serve the LCMS and serve our Lord in Eastern Europe. I believe in the Ukraine, correct? And obviously, that's something I'm excited about, having done that myself just a few years ago. I was in their place, going to churches, asking for support for the work of the mission. And one thing that I learned shortly after getting to Puerto Rico, and I know Kip and Tammy are going to find out when they get to Ukraine, is that there is such joy and comfort in that common language of faith. I mean, on Sunday morning, I had to worship in Spanish and preach in Spanish. I'm still not real comfortable with Spanish. And the longer I'm here with you guys, the more it's seeping out of my head, right? I don't think it's like a bicycle you can just hop back on. But no matter what language we were using, on Sunday morning, I knew that we were hearing the same gospel of Jesus Christ that you would have been hearing back here at Our Redeemer. And that people were hearing in churches all around our country, not just in our country, but all around the globe. That as Sunday morning would begin around the earth and the globe would spin, and so the sun would rise over various parts of the earth, Christians the world over would get up to confess their faith, to hear of Jesus dead for sinners and risen in victory. They would confess the Apostles' Creed or the Nicene Creed. They would pray the Lord's Prayer. They would gather around Christ's body and blood. I can't tell you what a comfort it was to know that even as we were there in a little mission church of about 15 people on a Sunday morning, that we were part of a bigger church. We were part of the Church of God. That's not made up of Lutherans of various stripes or Baptists or Pentecostals or Catholics or Methodists or whatever brand of Christianity. It's made up of all who have faith in Jesus Christ. And it's especially seen where people unite themselves around God's word. All those languages existed and divided people because of the sin that went all the way back to the Tower of Babel and even all the way back to the Garden of Eden. What is it that divides us today? Are there things that divide us here in our church? Perhaps. Are there things that divide us in our families? Definitely. Are there things that divide us in our communities and in our country? No doubt. Maybe it's husband against wife. Maybe it's Democrat against Republican. Maybe it's young versus old, spenders versus savers. Maybe it's an addict versus his or her family. Maybe it's pro-life versus pro-choice. But this much can be said with certainty. Those divisions have no place in the church. Those divisions are the work of the devil, not the Holy Spirit. So where does unity come from? Is it even possible? Well, here in this world, unity will never be perfect, that's for sure. But there is unity to be found where the words of our Lord Jesus are found, where Holy Scripture is found, where the proclamation of the gospel is found. Jesus for sinners in his death and in his resurrection. Where is the Holy Spirit? A lot of people think the Holy Spirit means a burning in your heart or butterflies in your belly or something like that. If you walk out here with a good feeling, you'd be like, man, the Holy Spirit was here that day. I could tell you, even if I'm off my game and the sermon stinks and the hymns are unsingable and we're all in bad moods, the Spirit is here nonetheless, because that's what Jesus tells us today. The Spirit is in the Word. Jesus tells us the Holy Spirit will bring to remembrance all that he has told us. What happened when the apostles received the Holy Spirit on Pentecost? They proclaimed Jesus. And that's where us mixed up people are united with one another. When we're divided over God's word, the Holy Spirit leads us into the truth. The Holy Spirit gathers us in the church. Not our Redeemer Lutheran Church, not the Lutheran Church, but the church. Divisions exist because people will latch on to false teachings of all different sorts. But what saves people, what saves you and me and all who hear it, is that word of Jesus Christ our Lord, dead on the cross for sinners and risen in victory over the grave and coming again for us on the last day. You see, Pentecost really is a big deal. Pentecost is where God further undoes the mess of sin that has mixed us up. Pentecost is the birth of the church. Pentecost is where people like you and me become one through the power of the Holy Spirit. Pentecost is where we are one. Where? In the word that delivers the blood of Jesus Christ shed for sinners. And that message, the apostles began to spread in earnest on that first Pentecost day. Thanks be to God, it's traveled through nearly 2,000 years in various languages from generation to generation to you and me here and now. Do you ever think about that? The reason we are here, the reason that we have heard of Jesus Christ and know of his death for us and victory for us over the grave and his coming again for us, the only reason we know about it is because of Pentecost. Because God, through his Holy Spirit, proclaimed that word to every different language, to every different people, all the way down through the pages of history to you and me sitting here today on the 9th of June, 2019. That's the Holy Spirit at work. That's the thing that sorts us out when we are mixed up by sin and division. And that Holy Spirit, he is the one who comes to you through the Word of God today to forgive you, to renew you, to strengthen you, and to send you out those doors with Christ on your lips for the sins of all. That message is where true unity is found. Sinners who share in common a death that awaits them, eternal destruction apart from faith, but a message of hope and promise and a guarantee of eternal life for you, for me, for all, in every time, in every place, through the power of God the Holy Spirit, to whom we give praise on this day. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.